now it's 2 o'clock. Okay. And the person writing it is a rabbi. Well, that I would call a secular rabbi. Okay. Certainly not messianic. He says things like, read, if you read something long enough, it changes who you are, and that's being born again. Which I'm like yelling at the book, you know. So, and hear strange noises coming from the bathroom sometimes, come yelling at the book. But in 1583, I guess it was, one of the books of Jewish law and tradition, and I don't remember the rabbi's name, talks about the purpose of the Day of Atonement. Okay? And think of the way atonement spelled, you can think of it as at one, meant. It was the day that the Jewish people could morally become fresh and clean with God. Mm-hmm. And then start the new year being at one with God.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm.
And they did that by calling a peer that they trusted. On the Day of Atonement, they would come, and they would sit down together, and the inquirer, in essence, would challenge the person that requested them to come and about how they're doing in their life, morally, etc. Okay? And then by then critiquing and challenging them, the person that is receiving the information would be able to say, okay, so I'm wrong here. I need to modify. I need to, our word would be repent. I need to modify my behavior, etc., etc. And that was part of their law and tradition for the Day of Atonement. Fast forward, how much better are we equipped to be able to say, Holy Spirit, you know me better than I know myself.
Yeah.
Amen. You know my heart.
Amen.
You know the secret sins. You know the thought patterns. You know those things I've closed the door of and say, Lord Jesus, come into the front pantry or front, living room where I've cleaned everything up and put plastic on the furniture, that you can see through the front window, so when someone walks by, they think everything's okay. But don't open the doors in back, because that's where I'm holding all my crap and secret sins and stuff like that. The Holy Spirit knows where all that is.
That's right.
So, coming to the Day of Atonement this year, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to reveal to me, it's a day of revelation, which is revealing. Revealing means exposing. Letting light hit those things that have only been darkness before. To reveal to me and then help me. Reveal to me the thought patterns that I have established and built certain foundations on, that I rely on, and I don't even think about because I figure that's already taken care of. Okay? Which is going to lead me to another thing, I guess, here. And then as you reveal it to me, give me the grace to be able to deal with that thing.
Yeah.
And truly not just acknowledge that, oh, that's right. I mean, you're right, Lord. I'm wrong. Okay. That's not repentance.
Right.
But the grace to actually confront it and say, you're right.
Yeah.
I'm wrong.
Right.
I put that at the foot of the cross under your blood. And I'm turning my attention, my focus, my look away from that, and that will be no more. To actually cut that thing off from my life. And I would challenge all of us to be doing that during this period of time. The laziness trigger goes into part of my praise report. So I am reading through the Bible. And for the first time ever, I'm reading it chronologically. Which means since some of the New Testament books, for example, were written pretty much at the same time, you read Matthew 19, 20, 21, then they jump to Luke, then you're back over to John, then
right.
You come back to, you're all over the place. But the first part of it's pretty straightforward, You got Genesis. Well, in the middle of Genesis, after the flood and before the law, you have Job. So Job didn't have anything to go on regarding the character and nature of God that was then revealed in the law.
Correct.
Okay, that didn't exist yet. And by doing some Bible study, I can kind of track Job's genealogy of where he came from, which son he came from, whether it's Ham, Shem, or Japheth. So I've read Job numerous times because over our multiple years and decades of trials and tribulations, the typical Christian will say, well, you ought to read Job. You know, he had some trials, and God restored everything plus another. You know, he two for everything that he lost. And Job never, you know, he worshiped God when he was trying. So why are you bad-mouthing God? Because, you know, well, this time through Job, and I've asked the Lord through his Holy Spirit to reveal to me the things that I haven't seen. Okay? For many years, I just bypassed Job. Oh, I know what that's all about. You know, I've read that. I've heard, I don't know how many sermons on it. Yeah. And, you know, okay, so let's just go right by Job. And people go, oh, man, now I got the prophets. Oh, let's skip some of that because prophets are, you know, who can understand the prophets? Those type of things. I'm not sure if I speak anyone's language. I think we're all related here.
Amen.
So the Lord shows me when Satan comes with the sons of God in front of the throne of God and to be inquired upon, he, God, talks about, have you considered my servant Job? And he is, and here's part of the laziness part, I've been taught that Job, when he was, so Job had seven sons, three daughters, and there was a party. Every time there was a birthday for one of the sons, all the sons and daughters and probably their friends would gather at that person's house and they would have a blowout party. And the word says eat and drink. Okay? But if you look at it, Job then, after each party,
right,
does burnt offerings before the Lord early the next morning in case his sons or daughters had cursed God,
yeah,
and disowned God. Mm. That's quite a party.
Yeah.
Okay. This is just some birthday cake and, you know, coffee.
Right.
And I was taught that that showed an insecurity in Job. And that insecurity is why Job was then tried and, tribulation. Mm. He deserved it. Right? Mm. Which, if you go to a number of churches today, are teaching that same thing and teaching that we all deserve it because of this. But after that that description there of Job sacrificing burnt offerings because he knew that the smell, the aroma of the burnt offering was pleasant to God. And it says that he eschewed. He hated evil because it was wrong.
Yeah.
Okay? So after that part, then it says, and Job was blameless before the Lord.
Right.
So, okay, wait a minute, time out. Pastor blah, 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 and, you know, blah, 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 author blah, 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 fill in the blanks that have taught me over the years that this is why Job has had trials, tribulation. You're wrong.
Right.
And what I accepted as truth due to my own laziness put me in a wrong position so I could not understand God in our own trials and tribulations. Now I'm in Job and I'm seeing, okay, so Satan says, you've blessed him. You put a hedge around him.
Yes.
I can't touch him.
Right.
No wonder he blesses you and praises you all the time. And the Lord says, everything Job owns, all his possessions, okay, are in your power.
Right on.
Amen.
Just don't touch the man. Now you see, his wife also wasn't touched, so they were one.
Right.
Okay. Secondly, his children were possessions. Mm. That gives us an idea of the relationship that was there in that family. Mm. All right? I don't view Okay. I don't view all of my children that way. I was going to say I don't view any of my children, but that's not true. Because the Lord has said that's not true. Mm. Okay, I'm not sure which one it is. But, but, you know, my children are part of me. They're covered under our covenant, household,
right.
Grace, faith. But that gives you an inclination of what that family relationship was like that. And I can understand Job's position. Hey, Dad, we're not inviting you to the parties.
Right.
You're not part of this. And we're going to go out and do our own thing because you've got God and whatever, and, you know, just whatever. Mm. So, what does Satan do? Satan uses a strategy as he takes everything away from Job. What's a strategy? Sudden loss.
Yeah.
Unexpected loss.
Yeah.
And simultaneous, I mean, you know, it says, okay, the blank came in and they attacked us and all your sheep were stolen and all the servants were killed. Mm-hmm. And before that servant, which is the only servant that survived, finishes that statement, the next servant comes in. So it's not just all your sheep. And then it's all your camels and your goats and, you know, all that. And the last one is a wind came in from the desert, attacked the four pillars of the house that your children on your eldest son's birthday, and there's a teaching right there. It was the eldest son's birthday. They were partying that time. It blew out the corners of the house. The house collapsed and killed all of your young.
Wow.
Doesn't say children. Doesn't say sons. Killed your young. Mm. And this is one after another. And that's the way Satan wants to attack. He doesn't want to attack you and give you time to recover. He wants to go boom, 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 boom,
right.
boom.
Right.
Until you're broken. Right. At that point, when Job reaches breaking point, what does he do? Shaves his head, puts on sackcloth, falls to his face, and worships God. That's the picture of Job that I've always been taught. God took everything. And he's still worshiping God, on his face, worshiping God. He says, where we get this byline, you know, God gave, God's taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Mm-hmm. So another day comes. That Satan comes in with the sons of God before God. And God says, have you considered my servant Job? You've taken away everything. And he's worshiping me.
Right.
He said, well, of course he's worshiping you. If you touch his body, he will curse you to your face. Now, that's a very strong statement. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We can't even see the face of God. If we were transported right now in our bodily form before the face of God, our bodies could not handle it and would burn up, our physical bodies, in front of the face of God. Okay, and Satan's saying, if you touch his body,
yeah.
And notice the trick there. Every time Satan comes before God, he says, if you take his possessions away, if you touch his body, he'll curse you to your face. Okay, and what I hear there is he's tempting God.
Yeah,
daring.
Yes. He's daring, exactly. God, he's your servant. You touch him. God does not do that. He gives permission for Satan.
Yeah.
What does Satan do? He gives him boils. He gives him skin problems where Job's reduced to taking broken pottery to scrape off the scales of his skin. Ugh. He's in total pain. Now, I never heard this before. And I've read this multiple times. But yeah. I have not heard this before. But now what I see and what I'm reading is where Job now, after he's attacked in his body, says, now I will speak from the bitterness of my soul. That's not worshiping God.
No, that's a whole different ballgame.
That's a whole different thing. And then starts to accuse and deny the character of God. His love, his mercy, his grace, his goodness. Just bam, bam, bam as it goes along. Mm. And I reading Job through this time, I'm starting to put today's language in some things. One of the verses talks about, I'm speaking from my soul, Lord, therefore don't hear me. And that's my paraphrase. So I put in John Paul Jackson. You know, Lord, I'm not in my right mind. I am blowing off steam. I'm not in my right mind. Don't hear me. And I know I'm not in my right mind. Okay? So the praise report is seeing what's happening here. And now I'm in 16, 17, Job. And the Lord, so I'm reading one of the friends. Okay? I'm sorry. Let me go back. Strategy of Satan. Loss. Bam, 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 bam. Break you. Okay? That's the first attack. The second attack is what? He attacks something else that you thought was protected. Third attack. He then brings people that you trust or even love around you to accuse you. And who's he start with? You.
Yeah.
You know, the number one accuser we have is when we start to agree with the accuser.
Mm-hmm.
And it's us.
That's right.
Self-condemnation. So, you know, I put in, I'm not in my right mind during that verse. I'm starting to personalize that. And the Lord's showing me, okay, I think it's Abutha, or the name is, starts to speak to Job. He's one of the friends. Starts to counsel Job, et cetera, et cetera. And Job gets more angry than asserts his righteousness, self-righteousness.
Yes.
Wait a minute. I know everything you've said to me, you know, and I'm not guilty of any of that. I'm righteous. And then continues to attack God. And then the friends, and this is new for me, so I read a section, be a chapter or two, where the friend is trying to help, quote unquote, okay? Mm-hmm. And the first one talks about, well, God is the source of everything. He gives you both good and bad. What do you expect? Mm-hmm. You know? He blessed you a whole bunch of time, and now he's taken it away, and he does both good and bad. And the Lord's saying to me, hear that? That's the spirit of the names and denomination. So I've seen the Baptists. I'm not going to go there. Sorry. And he says, you know, you're reading thousands of years old, but this is today. Because the people that are friends, quote unquote friends, talking to Job, counseling him, are it's the same spirit and belief structure that we're dealing with today. It's not, you know, oh, that was back then. Before the law was given. Same spirit. They're not creative. Evil is not creative. It takes the same strategy, same tactics. So, part of the nature of God that is attacked is his diversity. He loves diversity. Okay? And this also goes to laziness. So I'm looking at, okay, Lord, you know, I believe this, okay, and this happened several times. I believe this, I was taught this,
yeah.
People I respected taught me, and I thought, okay, that truth I could just put there, lock away, and I don't have to look at it ever again because, hey, you know, Dr. Blah, 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 or Pastor Blah, 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 whatever, preached that. And now he's bringing it back saying, what you think was true isn't. And we're kings and priests, and kings, the glory of kings, are to search out a matter. So we are relying on certain things that we believe that is disabling our destiny. Because we can't get there and perform what is in our scroll and our book and accomplish and achieve that on the truth that we have accepted that isn't truth. It's lies. One of those things. Grace. I'm going to step on some toes now, so forgive me ahead of time. Is everybody able to forgive me ahead of time?
Amen.
Not everybody, okay. What is grace? Grace is a merited favor. I mean, how many thousands of times have we heard that? Grace is not just unmerited favor. It's like, okay, I'll use the car analogy. Someone gives you a new car, and they talk about, oh, beautiful air conditioning, nice sound system, etc. And you look at the car in the driveway, and you get in to listen to your new CDs, okay, and you wash the car and whatever, but you never drive it. You never use it for the primary purpose for which it was formed, okay? And the book that God's using to create all these problems in my life right now, that's my way of saying, that thing, guess what, that's not right. And you can't go to where I called you to go if you believe only that. That book is Relentless from John Bevere. Mm. At night, when Ann goes to bed, I usually stay up and I read a book. And you know that I can be verbose and I can be loud, regardless of what the microphone says. And it's hard for me, for her, you know, over there quietly breathing deeply and resting, and I'm reading something that I wanted, you know, because now I'm angry. Mm. I have been defrauded. I've been ripped off. Because I spent 42 years believing this, and that's not the full truth. It's the part of the truth. Yeah. And if you're willing to accept just that part, then you're robbed of the real. Mm. The real is, grace is God's power, okay? Not just unmerited favor, but God's power that we have access to.
Yes.
To fulfill his word.
Amen.
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 That's completely different. Unmerited favor, I'm walking along. Oh, hey, you know, something happens. That's really cool. Thank you, Lord, for your favor. As compared to, in the name of Jesus, knowing that I'm speaking with the same power that said, light be,
yeah,
and the sun and the moon were put in position with all the mathematics that go with that to keep it in the right position, that power is now in each of us if we choose to believe that.
Amen.
And tap in.
And tap in.
Tap in.
Amen. And that goes back to the laziness. My laziness said, that's all taken care of. I don't have to search that out. I didn't even know to search it out. They searched it out. And maybe they believe that because they were willing to accept that limited truth rather than the entirety of what God's promised. So that answers a huge thing for me, because what is it that allows us to actually move forward and attack the gates of hell? Is it his favor? No, it's his power. Mm-hmm. And that's just a huge revelation for me. And so, the word grace, okay, I need to say this. Give me the right words, Lord. Humans are by nature lazy.
Amen.
When we read other versions of the Bible that are not word for word translations, we end up taking on the same belief structure that the people writing that,
yeah,
whether or not they know it, hold.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So in the Amplified, for example, there's one verse that talks of, that adds the word grace into the original text. And then since a definition of grace is unmerited favor, every other place that that the word grace appears in the Amplified, it says unmerited favor. Mm-hmm. I'm a lazy Christian, used to be more so, and I'm reading that and said, well, this is great, because they've already defined what it means.
Yeah.
I don't have to go to Strong's, I don't do word searches and all that on grace, because I know what it is. It says so right there. And we actually read it like it becomes the word of God. We say blank, 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 and grace, and we'll read right there, unmerited favor, It's in brackets, which means it's not part of Scripture.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But we read it like it is Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And we get down the rosy lane away from true truth.
Mm-hmm.
Truth, capital T.
Yeah.
Every time I see the word truth, I want to say, is this truth, which is really facts, or is this true with a capital T, which is Father? Father is truth.
Amen.
Father is love.
Amen.
If you take the word at original language of love and you put in there grace, and you think that grace is just unmerited favor, you just lost the Father of love.
Mm.
You just lost God Himself in that verse. I think I'm good. There's a lot more I can say.
Praise God.
Yeah.
And now you're a king. Now we are actually kings because we're searching out the matter.
And we heard you.
Say again.
And we heard you.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Can you hear me back there?
Yes.
I'd like to expound on one thing. When Job declared that he was righteous, he believed it. He believed it. And when I believe something and something doesn't disturb it to activate a different choice, then you're stuck with that belief.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to remain in that belief 42 years, whatever the number is. Okay? When you read the scripture, if you ask Holy Spirit, counsel me as I go forward, as you read it out loud, there will be many times that the Holy Spirit will say, that word doesn't fit. Take a different Bible.
Yeah.
Or for me, when he began to, let's say, pressure me, and I mean pressure, stop taking that version as gospel. He would send me to my Catholic French Bible. Because in the French language, I have more words to work with.
Amen.
Which was, for me, before the Amplified. And even the Amplified, there are places where they've added, and the Lord said, no.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
All right? Well, who are you going to trust? The Holy Spirit who's resident in you as the Spirit of Truth? The scripture said the Spirit of Truth will counsel you.
Right.
He'll awaken you. He'll drive you to understand the deeper meaning of what's written. And when that happens, your reality check is going to be there. This is off center. If you hear this is off center, pause. Selah, rest. There's a reason. And he may not be able to download the full truth to you until you're prepared. Because if you're not prepared, you'll reject it and you'll go right back to your old belief system. And I've done it. I'm not accusing me. I'm just telling you I've done it. Because again, strong delusion is part of what the enemy does.
Absolutely.
Okay? His purpose is to get you discouraged. His ultimate purpose is to commit you to suicide. That is his ultimate goal. He wants you to kill yourself. If he can't do it physically, he'll do it spiritually. He'll do it emotionally. Whatever tool he can use, his ultimate goal is to kill. You're not living under that covenant anymore. That's not where you live now.
Amen.
You pointed out about the Day of Atonement, which is on the 27th. We're going to be meeting on the 27th. But we're also going to meet on the 18th because the 18th is the beginning of a new year. And there's a beautiful 10-day period of called the Days of Awe. Okay? And I can remember doing quite a bit of studies about the Days of Awe when I was at Grace Church. And to show you deception. Also to show you that the anointing can be on you and you don't realize it. on the Feast of Trumpets at Grace Church of Christ, the last year I was there, we had guests that were invited coming from different parts of the country to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. And it was on a Tuesday night, and the Lord gave me a message about what the trumpets were, why the trumpets, etc., etc. And I mean, when I say God took a hold of my mouth, it was the longest sermon that I ever preached at Grace Church of Christ. Okay? Actually, halfway through the sermon that the Lord allowed me to share about what was happening, and the days of awe were beginning. And of course, the mindset is the days of awe, meaning God's going to do something awesome. And everybody's going to get healed and delivered. That's the brain. That's the box. Okay? He's not going to tell you about the days of awe that are going to be a crash program that you've never experienced or lived through. So, I'm giving this message. I get them to stand in the middle of the message declaring God's grace is coming. The days of awe are going to be outstanding, blah, blah, blah. And finish the message. Fast forward 2 years. We are now in the House of Prayer for All Nations in Munson. One of the ladies says, I think it was Linda. Kim, she says, did you ever listen to the cassette tape that was made on the Day of Atonement, on the Feast of Tabernacles, rather, trumpets, sorry, Feast of Trumpets, just before we got excommunicated? I says, I didn't even know that there was such a thing. I said, she says, I will bring it. I have a copy. I said, really? Well, 2 years before, and all the crashes that happened are not part of my recollection. I'm still in survival mode about everything that was stripped, everything that was removed, the crash program, the injured people in the church, the division that came, the war games that came, and how I had to stand my ground and defend what I believe God wanted us to do. And that's why we're here. So, she brings me the cassette. I put it into my car, leaving Munson. And I'm listening, and I'm listening. I never made it home. It took me the whole time. I would listen to a piece, I would park. I would listen to a piece, and I would park again. So God only knows how long it took before I did get home, because it was a long message. And I'm bawling on my eyes out because now I'm understanding that the days of awe are not celebration awes. They're recovery awes. I had been prophetic through the whole message and never saw what God had done through me. Except 2 years later. 2 years later, I can now digest what God has spoken through my mouth, because I never really completely understood the intensity of God's Holy Ghost that can speak through you and give a word, and it's prophetic, and you don't have a clue. Why? Because, again, of delusion. When you are deluded, when you're not in a truth pattern, you're going to believe the foundation stone that you think is God, and you believe that you were taught the truth, but you work with the lie, and the lie brings you more and more into a death mode, in a depression mode, and you don't even realize what you've got. And God's Holy Ghost is going to work with you until you finally see the truth.
Amen.
He's not letting go of any of us.
Thank goodness.
There was a season where he and I were divided, and I said to him, I'll always have your back because I'm not letting you go. But I understand where you're coming from. But also, it's not the pastor's job to fix you. I am not the fixer-upper. I'd like to sometimes. But what I did is I promised that I would continue to love him where he was at.
When you allow men to be your fixer-upper, you get a fixer-upper. When you allow God to be a fixer-upper, you get brand new.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Because you see, we wept together this week. There was a moment of harmony that hasn't happened for a long time.
Thank you, Jesus.
And that's my bro.
Amen.
Thank you.
And he's going to stay my bro.
Amen.
That's not because I'm right and he's wrong. It's because we're both learning.
Because I'm right, he's learning. No.
So I would entice you to consider being with us on the 18th and enter those 10 days of awe. And also to be with us for the Day of Atonement on the 27th. But not to forget Saturday the 26th. Because we're going to be joining with Rabbi Jonathan Kahn in Washington, D.C. And we're going to be here at 10 o'clock in the morning. What we will do that day, I have no clue. I've got a few visions.
Amen.
But they're not confirmed yet. So, it's time to stand up. You've been parked long enough. Say amen.
Amen. Amen.
It's time to move.
Yes, it is.
It's time to go forward. And I'm giving you the glory, Lord.
And I'm giving you the glory.
Because you've got a plan.
Yes, you do.
You've got a plan.
You've got a plan of salvation.
Yes,
Father. You've got a plan of salvation.
And we're going to receive.
And we're going to receive.
We are going to receive, Father.
The Lord's gift.
The Lord's gift.
To each of us.
To each of us.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Wiggle your legs a little bit.
Praise God.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father. Praise you, Lord.
Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus, it washes white as snow.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Great.
Black Lives Matter. Come on.
Amen.
Yay, Joe.
You represent your nation.
Yes.
The nationality, right here. See, this guy is not here early because he's going to two churches, so we got to love him.
Yes.
That's
yes.
Right.
So, one of a kind here.
Amen.
This morning, very early, 3 a.m., Lord got me up. Yes, Lord. I guess we're going to just flow with a little bit more. Don't be too nosy. AM. I heard right. Yes, I am your son, and I will remember your sacrifice for my salvation. And how deep this hurt, our Father. Come on up. All of you. See, our Father, we talked about a few minutes ago.
Yes.
Our Father who art in heaven is the one who created us.
Yes.
He prepared us in that realm before we had any colors.
Yes.
I recall Philip and his question. Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have all this been after I have been with you all this time. And then I heard John 14:23. If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him, etc. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. I want you to repeat after me. If anyone loves me,
if anyone loves me,
he will obey my teaching.
He will obey my teaching.
My Father will love him.
My Father will love him.
And we will come to him.
And we will come to him.
The stress is on we.
The stress is on we.
And make our home with him.
And make our home with him.
These words.
These words that you hear.
That you hear. Are not my own, says the Lord.
Are not my own.
They belong to the Father.
They belong to the Father.
Who sent me.
I will not speak with you longer.
For the prince of this world
is coming.
He has no hold on me. Thus saith the Lord. Father, I can see your light.
Yes, Lord.
Growing stronger in me,
which
is repulsive to my enemies.
Yes.
Your presence in me is blinding the enemy, and he can't stand to look at me. Jesus, be glorified in me.
Yes, glory to you, Jesus.
Holy Spirit, you are the author.
Yes, Lord.
You began a work when I was 27 and I knelt on my kitchen floor and said, I want more. Holy Spirit, understanding my Father's love for me has been a struggle because the biological father gave me away. It took 9 months to get rid of me. So therefore I had a problem with fathers. Big one. My second father, who was my half-brother, was so broken that he buried his issues with alcohol and drugs. These were the plans of God to send me into a family that would hold them up.
Yes.
That we would hold each other up.
Yes, Father.
Amen.
That we would hold each other to the point of victory. That's why I'm standing here today. Comprehending from John 14 the Father's love. You see, it was very hard for me to realize that my heavenly Father loved me because the earthly ones were damaged, broken. And there was a purpose, but I couldn't comprehend it. Because when you're in pain, you don't understand. You just react. You shut doors. You shut hearts out of your heart. You shut people out of your heart. Because you need to be in survival mode. That's where I lived.